for this year, for 2011. And I was just standing there, and you know, most of you know me, I'm quite pastoral, so I guess I'm always counting my sheep, and I really miss a few faces. But I know it's still the end of the year. A lot of people are still probably under the holiday spirit, but that's okay for now. We're going to have a great morning, and thank you, worship team. Thank you for blessing us. And one or two announcements from my side. In their absence, I want to say a great big congratulations to Jepson and Hillary. Their little girl were born in their past week. They emailed me some photos. I think maybe some of you guys also received it. So we just want to say, even though they aren't here this morning, we just want to say I hope the baby is sleeping well and everything. But we just want to congratulate them. Then also, yeah, for those of you I haven't seen this year, welcome back to church. Blessings for the new year. I really trust it will be a wonderful year for all of you guys as well. I also want to invite you. Some of you do it, but some of you don't. But I want to invite you, please, if you have some spare time in the week, over lunchtime, any other time, please feel free to come and visit at the office. Me and Skola, we are always here except on Fridays. Friday morning, Skola will be here, but not in the afternoon. Monday to Thursday, I will be here. So please come and visit. And also, if you want to come and visit me and Maritza and the kids at home, please, we're just the SMS away. Most of the time, we will be at home. So please come and say hello to us as well. And yeah, we're going to start. Everything is now slowly, but surely. Who of you are still on leave? I know I spoke to one or two ladies this morning that before the university is starting, I know they are still on leave. But most of you, by now, I think the year and everything has started. So all our ministries are also going to start again from this week onwards, our small groups, etc. Something I'm really looking forward to as well. So before I start with the sermon, I would just like to pray for us this morning. Father God, as we are here as your church this morning, as your children, as your people, as your sheep, Lord God, I just want to say thank you, Lord, that we can be here together, that we can bring honor and praise to you, Father God, that we can have the same mind of Christ, Lord God. And Father God, I pray that you'll speak to us this morning, Lord God, that in this spiritual realm, Lord God, that what is preached and what is said and what we sang, Lord God, that it will carry weight, that it will have significance, Father God. And yes, Lord, that you'll bless us as a family together, Lord God. And Lord, we want to be more of a family this year, Lord God. And Father God, we also want to have more of an outward focus this year, Father God. And I just pray for your blessing and your presence here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, so this morning, what I have on my heart, I want to share with you. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about unity this morning. Something I haven't preached on that much before, but I really feel it's something important. It's something I really feel that God has laid on my heart for us, especially for now, for this time of the year. Now, I just want to clarify, I'm not going to minister on unity this morning because I think we have problems with that or anything like that. I'm going to give a teaching on that, but the significance of it is that I really want us to embrace it, that it will be something that will be in our hearts, and as I go on this morning, that you can really be part of that. I really believe that as we have a vision that we pursue together, as we are Christians, as we are sons and daughters of God, and as we have a worship team and a kiddies church and all the different ministries, you know, as we just were listening to the worship team, if Aaron's were doing one thing and Gustav another and Paul another, then the worship wouldn't go that well. But if we agree and if we all are in harmony, you know, then it's going to be a lot better. So for us as a church as well, I really believe that when our hearts are together and when we agree on something, you know, then we're going to be so much more of a blessed and effective church. Now, just I'm going to keep that photo there for a week or two. That's a photo of me and my family. We talked, as I said just now, we talked a lot about family last year, and I'm obviously a family man, very proud of my family. God blessed me with a wonderful wife and three kids. It's something I just want to be there. We're going to do a lot more things this year in terms of family and in terms of relationship. I know Skola is very excited, but we're all going to have a church camp this year where everyone from the young to the, you know, from young to old, all of us are going to go to a certain place, and we're going to have a wonderful time together. I just spoke to Marius, and he's already excited about that. So I just want that something you can keep in the back of your minds. So I want to start off this morning by reading to you from Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That is how wonderful. It's King David that is writing to us here, and he said it's wonderful if all of us, if we dwell together in unity. Now, as I said, when we are in unity, when we are in agreement, it's then that things will start to happen. Now, unfortunately, you know, this principle, there's many principles in the kingdom of God that doesn't just apply to us as Christians, you know. It also apply to people in the world that doesn't know Christ, who doesn't serve God. For instance, something like sowing and reaping, you know, it's not just for Christians. It's a spiritual universal principle, and also for unity. So when you agree on something bad, there's still agreement on that. Now, I want us to go, I want us to read... also from Genesis, I'm going to read to you from Genesis 11, from verse 1 to 6. And there's an example that we have where people who wasn't, they were in unity and they were in agreement, but their heart wasn't right. But listen what God said about this. So I just want to sketch a little bit of the other side of the picture as well this morning. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city, and the tower, which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. So God saw what they were doing, and then he came and he said, well, if they are in unity and they are in agreement, then they will prosper. What they set their minds to, they will be able to do. So this is, as he said, this is some, and then obviously I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but then God confused the language, and then they scattered, and obviously the goal wasn't reached. And God had good reasons, I believe, why he wanted to do that. But the thing is, me and Andrew, you know, if we go and we say to each other, we're going to go this afternoon at 5 o'clock and we are going to, spray paint the church building pink on the outside, you know, and none of you know this, then except if something supernatural happened, and we're not going to try this, Andrew, but the thing is, we're going to go, we're going to agree on something, and as you know, in history, in many ways, unfortunately, that will come to pass. It will happen. As I said, it's not just for us Christians. It's for any human. There's many organizations that are, you know, occultic or that knows these principles very well as well. Now, unfortunately, we as Christians have fought each other a lot. If you just think of the history of a place like Ireland, how much the Catholics and the Protestants over the centuries, you know, battled each other. Now, unfortunately, they can't be unity. Now, unity commands a blessing. So I want to bring it before us this morning, guys, as we speak on unity, that it's something I'm not saying this morning that I believe we're not doing good. I want you to... We can always do better. They can always, you know, I counted this morning, I think we represent at least 6 different countries in the world, in our church here in Windhoek. There's a lot of people from many places, we have different ages, many different backgrounds, but you know, there's something that brings us all together, and it brings us all into unity. And the important thing is, when we agree, whether it's, you know, as I started this year, and I saw I saw Anna-Marie and Heidi last week, for the kiddies ministry, I spoke to Saunders, and so forth. I'm seeing all the ministries. You know, just by starting together, sharing vision, praying together, agree on what we want to accomplish. There's so much power in that. But if you first have to go and sit down and now talk about almost, you know, a little bit of fighting or politics or different doctrines or things like that, you know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And unfortunately, the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, we have spent a lot of time in history being divided. You know, I've got a friend in South Africa, in George, he's a pastor there, and he said to me there's about 350 churches in the city of George, and I think they are probably a little bit smaller town than Windhoek. You know, so people are very scattered. I don't say all of them, I'm not talking about wrong and right this morning, but you know, when we agree, It's so powerful. When I sat in my office last night and I was thinking on this and took, you know, not practicing the sermon, that sounds really religious, but just going through it and everything, you know, I had this picture. How many of you have seen the movie Gladiator? A lot of you guys have seen it, or similar type of movies from the Roman Empire. Now you will always see the Roman soldiers, they looked alike, they were dressed similarly, all had the spears and the shields and the clothing, and there's a general and they're leading the army, and usually they are fighting somewhere in Britain or around the world. They are fighting, let's call the barbarians, you know, those big German type of guys that are today very civilized. You know, and they were fighting them, and those guys, everyone, the one had the axe, and the one a sword, and this one a knife, and all the different things, but they were marching, and you could see the unity in the way they operated. You know, there wasn't confusion in the ranks, and as they were standing there, it is always a beautiful, in an army or soldiers marching, you can always see how things are working together, how they are united, and many times, when two different parties, take hands and they agree upon something, then they are so much stronger together. And obviously, being a very well organized army, the Romans, you know, they conquered a lot of countries and a lot of nations because of this principle. Now I just want to go back a little bit, and it's something that is something that we must know, and I want to hold before us in the beginning of the year. If church unity, you know, I'm just going to refer to that remark. Rick Warren is also writing about that. And he says, you know, there's more written on church unity in the New Testament than on heaven or hell. You know, it's one of those really important things. Now, I'm specifically this morning talking to us as a church, as a vision, to us as a family about unity. I'm not now, this morning, I'm preaching about all the churches in Namibia or in Africa should unite. I'm not on that this morning, really. That's a different story for a different morning. But the thing is, if church unity is so important, what will our friend, no, our enemy, not our friend, sorry, our enemy the devil, what will he do? That will be one of his first aims, is to bring this unity in a family. Those of you who are married, those of you who are in a relationship, in a family life, you will know very well that when there's this unity between mom and dad, when things in the home isn't very nice, then there isn't a very nice atmosphere. Try going on a holiday and wife want to go to Tumip and husband to Ketmanswip. It's not going to work. You know, if there's not unity in the things you pursue, the things you want to do together, when that agreement isn't there, you can sense it. I remember as a young boy, you know, when there's arguments or stuff in the house, it happens to all of us, I guess, then you can sense it. In the kids are very quick to pick this thing up. Now, I want to just go a little bit. I want to read to you also from Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, this is in context. Paul is writing there in the context, or not Paul, it's in the context of a sinning brother. Now, this principle goes for many other things in our life as Christians as well. When we agree on something, you know, there's power in agreement, and we must know that this will be one of the first things that the devil will try to attack. If we as a church or any organization, if we can have different focuses, or one group want to go this way and another group that way, then we're not going to get a lot done. And the wonderful example that we can have, we can also use the worship team now, is that word agree. It comes from the Greek word symphono. Now that's the same word as a symphony. And if you go and look at it, the word, it means together and to sound. Now those of you who've ever been to something like that, a symphony, you will know that, say for instance, before the time, all the musicians are sitting there and everyone is tuning their instrument and just warming up a little bit, then there's a lot of different sounds coming from the stage. You know, it will almost make a little bit of noise because there's not going to be harmony. But then after a while, you know, the conductor who's leading, you know, he will make everyone to be silent, and then he will start, and you will know as I move my hand, you will show everyone exactly what to do, and then the most beautiful sounds will come together, and it will make this sweet harmony, and it will harmonize. And that's what I believe this morning, as we as a church, as a family, I'm going to end with that because we have, do have an outward focus. It's not just that we can feel good about each other, but it's really that when we can unite and when we can agree, you know, that's why before I preach or before, you know, you'll see the worship team always praying together. We're coming into agreement. We're saying, God, please bless this and do that. We're praying together, and there's so much spiritual significance and power in that. Yeah, I used the example of the orchestra, and that we should harmonize together to do what the will of God is. Okay, last week we talked a lot about 2 Corinthians. I gave you a lot of background on the letter that Paul wrote to 2 Corinthians. I said to you guys that he had a mission journey there, and he established the church in Corinth. It was a very immoral town at that stage. And this, now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, and it's a pastoral letter that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth that he has established there. Now, if you go to your Bible or mini Bible or dictionary, Bible dictionaries or a commentary, you will see that there's about 8 different topics that Paul addresses. And in my New King James Spiritful Bible, you'll see every time it starts with the problem of, and the problem of, and the problem of. You know, there's 15 chapters in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is addressing various problems in the church of Corinth. Things like, you know, there was a lot of sexual immorality, there was problems with the Lord's Supper, various things that I'm not going to go into. But you know what, Paul is starting there, and you know, there's a bit of a rebuke, there's a bit of a teaching coming, but he starts off, and it's so wonderful. I think it's something I noticed, but that all of us can learn, you know. He starts off by thanking God for the people and by blessing them. You know, he affirms them. He doesn't just write to them and say, you bad people, this and that. You know, he really starts off by just acknowledging them, honoring them, loving them, and thanking God for them. And then he starts to write, and in the first chapter already, the first topic that he addresses, and I believe that is probably one of the biggest things that he had on his mind and on his heart, was the question of unity, because there were different factions in the church. So I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible, and I'm also going to read, just for those of you who are more interested in hermeneutics or exegesis, just for one or two interesting things that we can note here. So I'm going to read about 3 or 4 translations to you of the same same scripture. And first is the Amplified Bible. But I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no dissensions or fractions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and judgments. Now that is the Amplified. I also want to read to you from the English Standard Version, and there it starts again. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then the New King James Version, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Okay, that is just something to the side. I want to show you, just for interesting, for those Afrikaans people, I'm going to read to the Afrikaans Old vertaling, and it says, maar ek vermaan julle broeders in die naam van ons Here Jesus Christus om almal eenstemmig te wees, en dat daar geen skeringe onder julle moet wees nie, maar dat julle verenig moet wees in dieselfde gesindheid en in dieselfde mening. So I want to encourage you this morning, when you are studying word, when you are reading scripture, maybe have a second translation as well, and see what it said, because I'm just going a little bit off the topic, but I believe we do have the time. You know, if you look at the Amplified Version, it starts by saying, I urge you and entreat you. The ESV says, I appeal to you, brothers. And then in the New King James, I said, I plead with you, brethren. You know, it's interesting how they use different sentences. Obviously, the New King James is a more poetic type of translation. The ESV are a bit more conceptual. But it's very interesting. I hope I don't bore any of you. But I just want to go to the last part of this scripture, And also, let's read from the Amplified, and it says, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and judgments. The ESV, the English Standard Version, says, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. And in the New King James said, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Okay, so this mind and judgment, it's not talking about our emotions and our feelings. It's talking about our mind, our way that we think, you know, the constructive way, the faculty up here. So obviously, some of you might feel the curtains might be blue, some might feel it must be yellow, some like it, the color it is. That's more emotional things, you know. We're talking here about doctrine, we're talking about scripture, we're talking about church, about Jesus Christ. And that's the important things that we do agree upon. I've got orange juice here, it can be anything else, you know, that type of things is more feeling-like. Yes, scripture is talking about, you know, about more the solid things, the things that really matter. And obviously, so Paul is really writing to them, and he's urging them. I use the different translations that you can see the different words that they use, and it's like urge, appeal, and plead. You know, so he's really making a strong case. He's really wanting them to understand that, please, guys, I want you united. I don't want one group doing this and saying that. I don't want any infighting, anything like that. And as I said this morning, please, guys, I'm not saying this or preaching this to us because I think we're doing bad or anything. I really believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us according, you know, this, that we can let it settle in our spirits. Okay, so because just in verse 12 and verse 13, he goes on, and there you can see that some is saying they are of Apollos, and some are of this, and of Christ, and he says, we don't want Christ divided, you know, we want to preach one gospel, the one good news. We don't want different factions and very any other problems regarding that. So if you go on in the letter of 1 Corinthians, you'll see all the other different problems, the pastoral problems that Paul is addressing in the church in Corinth. But in verse 10 already, he's giving attention to this very, very important topic. And as I said, you know, if this is so important, then we can know the devil will always be. And those of you who have read a lot about church history in old times, in modern times, you will know that the devil has got this thing very well under the knee. He knows exactly how to bring this unity in people, and that's very sad for the Church of Jesus Christ. Now I want to read to you also, I'm going to quote a small part. It's from Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. I think a lot of you have maybe read it or heard about it. And in chapter 2, he starts off when he writes about the unity in church and how we should protect it and nourish it and how important it is. He uses two scriptures, and the first one is from Ephesians 4 verse 3. Now listen very carefully. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit. So make every effort to continue together in that way. Make every effort to continue together in that way. So it's, we are joined together with peace through the Holy Spirit. That is the common factor that is bringing us all together here this morning. Peace and the Holy Spirit. And then the second one in Colossians 3 verse 14. Most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Most of all, let love guide your life. You know, so he's giving us a few tips there. There's a few tips from Scripture that we can see how we can stay together in unity and how precious it will be for all of us. So at the end of the morning, you know, at the end of the sermon, when there's going to be time for an altar call or time for ministry, or maybe I'm just going to give you time that you can, just in your own heart, listen a bit to what the Holy Spirit say. You know, if you feel for some reason you are not that much part of the church, or a ministry, or leadership, or anything, I want you guys to go to scriptures like those. I'm going to read a few more to you, where you can see, like in Ephesians, that we are joined together with the Holy Spirit and by peace. That is the bond and the love of Christ. That is the glue that is keeping us together. Not the fact that we are all Namibians. That definitely doesn't keep us together. Because we are, there's South Africans and Zimbabweans and people from the Philippines and all over Kenya, our friend Mary. So that's definitely not a common factor that's bringing us together. Neither is our age. You know, we are old and young, etc. So I really want us to understand why it is important for us as a church to be together. So I'm gonna read a quote to you, and it's Rick Warren that is writing here, and it says, and he's speaking now to each and every one of us. He says, "It is your job to protect the unity of your church. Unity in the church is so important that the New Testament gives more attention to it than to either heaven or hell. God deeply desires that we experience oneness and harmony with each other. Unity is the soul of fellowship. Destroy it and you rip the heart out of Christ's body. It is the essence, the core of how God intends for us to experience life together in His church." Now I think that's really powerful. I really believe that is something I almost want to say. You can, in a week, you can get this quote. Maybe you have the book at home. Go and write it down. So it's not something that just me must do, or the worship leader must do, or the leaders of the different ministries must do. It's something, it's each and every one of us play a role in terms of coming together in church unity. For us to be united, to have a front together, and you know, I've thought so many times in my life, I thought about this principle that we come from so many places. I mean, you can, I guess, take any church in Windhoek and you'll find people who like doing this on a Saturday and who like doing that. And the moral of the story is Christ is bringing us all together. When we become born again, when we are born into Jesus Christ, into His family, you know, then something happens in our hearts. Then we start to leave all the different things. I can't remember. I was speaking to someone in the week. Now I remember it was to David. Who's, by the way, on the funeral in Rehoboth, a friend of him, unfortunately passed away. He let me know he couldn't be here, our friend David Ressant. But we were talking about sport, you know, and we had lunch together, and we were talking, and we shared on, you know, I remember when I was still at school, how depressed I were when the team that I supported lost, you know. It had a big effect on me, you know. But as I became a Christian and I grew, then I started to realize, you know, it's things of the world. It's nice to support a team and to enjoy sport or something. But, you know, if they lose, it's fine. Now, I was referring, some of you will remember, I'm talking to a small group of people, but in 1997, the Springboks lost against the British Lions in South Africa, and I thought we're going to win big time, and we didn't. So we lost, and I remember still, you know, I was sitting on a table, and my dad said, "No, come on, it's not that bad." You know, but I felt that bad. But the point I'm trying to make this morning is, you know, many times things of the world can have such a big influence on us. But as we become Christians and we grow and we mature, we will start to know that this isn't really such a big issue. Now, there is something the Apostle Paul, he was writing in a lot of places in Scripture about unity. And Jesus also taught us a lot about unity in His body. Now, in such a way that we can see in John 17, just before He was crucified, you know, He was praying for His disciples. Now, so He knew His time was really running out. Time was starting to run out, and then He was praying for His disciples. And I want to read to you from John 17, from verse 10 to 13. Maybe you can just say to the person next to you, "We're going to pursue unity this year." John 17, verse 10. "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you." Now this is obviously, He's talking about His disciples, and you is Jesus going to God. "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Just going back to verse 11 again, it says, "And I am no longer in this world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now we all know that Jesus always said he's doing what the Father is doing. They are one, they are united. We know it's the Trinity. Now he says here that the disciples should be one, even as Jesus and God are one. Now that's setting quite a high standard. That is not like I'm telling my boys from time to time, okay, come on guys, please don't fight. You know, he's really serious now. He said that his disciples, he's praying to God and interceding and he's asking that they should be one as God and Jesus are one, as the Son and the Father is one. So I think that is really setting a standard for all of us. That's why I believe we can just do better. The more we agree, the more you unite, the more powerful our ministry will be, and I believe the more God will be able to use us as a church and as Christians. It's really something I trust. Okay, so that is the principle that you can understand. It's something that Jesus also had on his heart. He prayed it. He interceded for his disciples, and he really made that point. I also want to read to you where Paul, in other parts of Scripture, is also talking about unity. There's so many that I think we can preach three sermons on this topic, but I just want to give two more to you. The one is from Romans 15, verse 5 to 6. "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may be that together you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then also in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell, mend your ways, heed my appeal, agree with one another, and live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." So it's really making a strong statement here. I can give you 10 more scriptures on unity and where the apostles are writing and saying, guys, please be united. So I really think all of us is getting the point here, why there's a very good foundation from Scripture, why it's important for us to agree together. Can I have an amen there? You guys are with me this morning. Amen. Not on holiday. Amen. Okay, that's a good thing. So if I want to take us, just back to last week. I shared a few scriptures with you that I really enjoyed so much when I felt, as I read this book of 2 Corinthians, that God laid on my heart. And I really believe this from 2 Corinthians 14. You know, that was when I read it, it just became so alive to me, that rhema word. I really felt that God spoke to me, and I think it's for us as a church very important right now. And I want to make a connection between this scripture and what I was talking on about unity in our hearts this morning. I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." So we talked about that fragrance that all of us have, that Jesus Christ have, that the gospel have, that the good news have, and that we should spread it everywhere. We can also go to the Great Commission, where Jesus sent us all out, you know, to go all to the nations and to preach the word. Last week I also spoke about, in 2 Corinthians, about the love of Christ that compelled Paul to do what he did, you know, even through all those hardship and all the difficult times and the things that he had to have gone through. You know, it was the love of Christ that compelled him. And then also I read to you from 2 Timothy where Paul was writing to Timothy and said about preaching the word in season and out of season, and that he must be ready. And then I talked about that. Now I just want to connect the lines this morning, the dots, about these two things. And I believe it's really important that I'm not going to go into what we as a church should do and who we are and things like that. But I believe that most of you, maybe I'll minister on that one morning. But it's really important. I know that you guys don't just come here to worship, and that you don't just come here to listen to the sermon, hopefully. You know, there's other reasons why we are part of this family as well. We have small groups together. We pursue different values. We're going to have the parenting course. I said we're going to go on a camp together. There's many reasons that we as a church are together, and that we can be discipled and fathered, and that we can grow and mature together. But guys, there's also a calling on us as a church. That's why we have a vision, and we say we want to go to the nations and the generations, and we want to disciple people, raise leaders, and we want to plant churches. That is the vision. That is what we are pursuing. So as an organization, if I can put it that way, as a church, as a family, that is what we want to do. So I believe, if we can put it in worldly terms, we want to do it our best. Do you agree with me? We want to do what Jesus wants us to do the best. Now, what is on Jesus' heart? What is Jesus' heart? Let me ask you this morning. People. What people? Lost people. That is the heart of Jesus Christ. The heart of the Father is that through Jesus Christ, that all men can be reconciled to God. That all of us can stand in relationship with Jesus Christ. That all of us, that our names can be written in the book of the life, you know. And the thing for us to know, I'm trying to hold it before you as good as I can this morning, that we should have it in our hearts, that as we're going to spread that fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere, that we will be able to do it so much better. The more we are united, the more we are agreed upon how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, etc. So I believe that is something spiritual that our Holy Spirit want to impart to us this morning, and I'll definitely in the weeks to come refer to that, because there's a lot of our friends not here this morning, and that's really fine for today. But it's something that all of us should hear. It's something that all of us should embrace and that we should run with in this year to come. Okay, so I want to ask you, If you battle with this topic this morning, and it can be for anyone in any church, you know, if you feel you're not that much part of church, or there's any issue or any something related to that, or maybe I should put it this way: how can we become more united? How can we be more agreed upon what we should do? First of all, is if we all agree on the biblical principles, you know, if we all read the same Bible, and if we all in our family, if we all can, you know, let the Holy Spirit open the Word to us, because when we read Scripture, you know, the Holy Spirit will always minister to us to change us, you know, to become more Christ-like, and the more Christ-like we become, you know, that is obviously where we want to be. Okay, and then I believe as we come together in places like intercession or in small groups, when we pray together, when we worship together, you know, that brings unity. You know, always, or for instance, when we eat together, you know, if you spend time with people and you eat together, there's a certain amount of agreement, there's a certain amount of unity, of something coming that is just supernatural. So when we, on a Tuesday morning, when we come together and we pray together, or when, you know, Wari and Lachie, I spoke to them, Shelby, and, you know, we were going to start a small group on the UNAM campus. It's something you can intercede for. But, you know, we can't just go and say, okay, guys, go for it and try your best and good luck. That's not how we do it. You know, I said to them also, if we are agreed and we do it in unity and we start off by praying, you know, God will bless it. So I want to encourage you, If you know in your heart you want to increase your agreement and you increase your unity, you know, in terms of the church, then we must become more Christ-like. We do that by praying, by reading the Word of God, by worshiping, and the more the things of the Father, the more the things of the Holy Spirit, as she said, the lost, the more those things are on our hearts, you know, the more we want to do the same thing. Amen. Okay. And then also, as I said, I don't want us to have a focus that we're talking about results in terms of people doing, you know, being saved or so many people joining the church. It's about people's lives. I use the word organization, but we're a family. We're not into getting just results. Obviously, we love it when anyone comes to Christ, or anyone grows, or, you know, like Jepson and Hillary, when a baby is added to our family, that's wonderful. but it's about people's lives, and that's the things that we are pursuing. So it's not just something about us to say we have unity and we can agree. It's to the benefit of the people that we, you know, outside our church as well, that we can reach them as well. Okay, so I'm going to call the worship team. You guys, if you can please come to the front. We're going to worship together this morning. So I want to ask you this morning, as it's the beginning of the year, I believe there's a firm foundation that we can see from Scripture regarding unity and agreement. And I really want to bring it before you this morning, as there are going to be time to worship now, that we can just all bring our hearts before God, and in a spirit of worship, that we can just ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts this year, because I want you guys to go and see for yourselves in your heart, where do you stand in terms of, you know, agreement and unity and Scripture and Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to allow a moment, as the worship guys are in a few moments are going to start. I just want to ask you, maybe just as you are sitting this morning, you don't have to stand. I just want to give the opportunity that the Holy Spirit can minister. And if there's anything in your heart that you think that you need to maybe pray about or agree about, I want to invite you. I will be in the front. Please, I would like to pray with you. If there's anyone with any other prayer request, I also want to ask you and invite you this morning, please feel free to come to the front. I would like to minister with you. But as the team are going to start to worship now, I almost want to say softly, I want to encourage you guys, just maybe you can just close your eyes, just be at ease, and just allow the Holy Spirit, concerning what we spoke about this morning, just to minister to your heart, and just that you can see where you are at, and maybe what you have to do for now. Amen. Father God, we're just going to come before you, Lord God, this morning. And as we are quiet now, Father God, I just trust, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will minister to us this morning, Father God. I just want to trust that our hearts will be open, Father God, and that it will be an opportunity, Lord, where you can speak to us, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear your voice, Lord God, that you say that your sheep will hear your voice, Father God, and that still small voice can minister to us this morning, Father God, and about anything, Lord God. It doesn't even have to be just about unity, Lord God, but thank you, Lord, that we know that you are here, that your presence are here, Father God. And in this moment, Lord, I just want to bring it before you, Father God, that we as a church, Lord God, a shofar winduk, Lord God, that we want to be united, Lord God. We want to be united, Lord God, in what you call us to do, Lord God, that we will love each other, Father God, and that your unity and agreement, that it will be in our hearts, Father God, that as we are looking to the people around us, Lord God, this dry nation, Lord, we know there's so many needs, Father God, that we can agree, Lord God, and from that place of agreement that we can go, Lord God, that we can be the salt and that we can be the light, Lord God, that we can be that sweet fragrance, Father God, that we can just be ourselves as Christians, Father God, and that people will be drawn to us, Father God, that people on the outside, Lord God, outside of our family, Lord, we want to open the doors and want them to be part of us, Father God, that they won't seek and not find, Lord God, that they will be able to know where to go to, just for a hug, maybe just for a piece of bread, Lord God, or maybe for the gospel, Father God, but that sweet fragrance, Lord God, that we can take it to the outside, Lord God, that we can love people around us, Father God, and Lord, as we are planning our year, Lord God, as we are getting all the ministries in line, Lord God, that we can do it with a heart of agreement, Lord God, and in unity, Father God, and that the devil will not come to steal, kill, and destroy in our sheepfold this year, Lord God, that we can stand together, Father God, that we can be united, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that supernaturally, Lord God, even all our brothers and sisters that's not here this morning, Father God, that it will be something that you'll establish in our hearts, that you'll establish in our spirits, Father God, in our homes, in our marriages, in our small groups, Father God, that it can be a place that we live from, Father God, that we can know that our backs are covered, Father God, that we don't have to worry about a friend and his agenda next to us, Father, but that we can know that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God. Thank you for your word, Lord God, that is making such a strong statement, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we could see, Lord Jesus, that you prayed for your disciples, for them, for unity, Lord God. Unity as the Father and the Son has it, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that it will be something that you establish in our church just more and more, that we can go from glory to glory regarding that, Father God. And Lord God, that we can be a house on the hill, a safe place, Lord God, where people can flock to, Father God, that living waters will be here, Lord God, that it will be all around us, Lord God, and that, yes, Lord, I really trust this in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, Father God. Amen. Okay, guys, I think there's going to be one more song. No more song? Sorry?